Sorry, I really went overboard this morning. You know, I could have completed lot more verses if I had just gone ahead, but I just got carried away. So, but still, I think we'll try to complete the portions on time. So, this morning we were discussing about mixed devotional service, which Kapila Dev started discussing. So in that we tried to understand, you know, how you understand the difference between mixed devotional service and pure devotional service practiced at the Vaidhi Sadhana platform. So we tried to understand how we identify contaminations on the level of Shraddha and contamination on the level of Swabhava, and how do you deal with them, and what contaminated Shraddha does and what contaminated Swabhava does to one's progress, also we saw this morning. So now, after discussing mixed devotional service, Kapila Dev is now going to present devotional service that is not mixed. Pure devotional service. Which means, what is pure? Shraddha is pure. So, he says, Madguna Shruti Matrena Mayi Sarva Guhashaye मनोगतिर अविच्छिन्ना यथा गंगाम्ब सोम्बुदौ लक्षणं भक्ति योगस्य निर्गुणस्य ह्युदाहृतम् अहैतुकी अव्यवहिता या भक्ति पुरुषोत्तमे. सो ही सेज मनः बिकॉज द माइंड मद्गुण श्रुति मात्रेण बाय हियरिंग अबाउट माय क्वालिटीज. जनरली इन द स्क्रिप्चर्स वेन एवर a particular limb is indicated as being the all in all, it's that limb is that limb generally represents all the other limbs of bhakti. So here it says madguna shruti matrena means only by. So here only by does not necessarily mean only by hearing, it means shravana adi. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Uday. So, Madguna Shruti Matrena, Gatir Avichinna, it flows. But of course, definitely, the primary limb is Shravanam. Because Shravanam is what gives faith in the other limbs also. So, when you hear, that's how, when you hear the glory of the other limbs, that's how you develop faith in that limb. So, therefore, Shravanam is the vital limb. That's what, because otherwise, if we don't properly have the essential faith in the other limbs, even performing those limbs will give very minimal benefit. Shraddha is that fuel which powers each activity, whether it is a devotional activity or any other non-devotional activity also. Shraddha is, I would not say non-devotional activity, but any other Vedic activity, Krishna says, Ashraddhaya hutam dattam tapastaptam kritam jayat. Asat iti uchyate partha nachatat pretyanoiha. He says that any activity when performed without faith is as good as not performing that activity only. Because it will not give any result in this life or in next life. So therefore, because Shravanam gives the essential preliminary faith in that particular limb, therefore Shravanam takes a very important role. So therefore, here it is mentioned, Madguna Shruti Matrena, by hearing about my qualities, Manaha Gatir Avichinna, the mind flows continuously to me. Mayi. And who am I? Sarva Guhashe. To me, who is present, residing as the super soul in everyone's heart. Yata Gangam Baso Ambudau, just as Mother Ganga flows continuously towards the ocean. Similar to Twai me ananya vishaya matir madupateya sakrit. Such a process udahrita, it is said lakshanam bhakti yogasya. Bhakti yogasya lakshanam is this. So when he says, when I say this is the quality of milk, so I am talking about quality of pure milk. So if I have to say, okay, what is the quality of let's say bone vita or protein X or whatever, you know, you mix with the milk, you know, then I specify, you know, this is the quality of, this is how bone vita tastes, or this is how, you know, sattu mixed with milk tastes or whatever. But when I say this is the quality of milk, it means this is the quality of pure milk. So here Kapiladeva is telling that this is lakshanam bhakti yogasya. This is the quality of bhakti. And then he also says nirgunasya. Nirgunasya bhakti yogasya lakshanam. Because he has already spoken about bhakti which is mixed with the three modes. Of course, it's not bhakti, but the practitioner's shraddha which is mixed with the three modes. But what if the practitioner's shraddha is not mixed with the three modes? What are the characteristics? Manogatir avichinna yata gangambasum budau. So this is nirgunasya bhakti yogasya lakshanam. And also ahaituki. It is not performed for any material results. Bhakti purushottame in the is the absence of the results other than bhakti unto the Lord. So the process is performed for the sole purpose of pleasing the Lord. No other cause. Avyavahita, and there is lack of obstruction from other processes. So ahaituki apratihata. Apratihata means that process is not obstructed by the other processes. One doesn't think that other than bhakti I need to perform any other process to please the Lord. So apratihata means jnana karma dhyanavritam. And ahaituki means anyabilashita shunyam. So the nature of so basically this verse, what it talks about is anyabilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam. That is what is the nature of pure devotional service. So can you identify anyabilashita shunyam verse in this verse? So where is anyabilashita shunyam indicated here in this verse? Ahaituki is anyabilashita shunyam. Where is jnana karma dhyanavritam indicated? Avyavahita. Avyavahita means lack of obstructions from other processes. What you see below is the translation. So you can find out from that. Where is anukulyena indicated? Anukulyena is indicated where? In this verse. Mai sarva guhashaye. By understanding who is that Lord unto whom I am offering this worship. He is the same Lord who is present in every living entity's heart. So anukulyana means having a very favorable devotional attitude towards the Supreme Lord. So that's indicated by sarva guhashaye. Where is Krishna indicated? Purushottame. Where is Anu indicated? Anu means, Anu could mean continuous. So, Manogatir Avichinna. Anushilanam, anu means continuous. So just like Mother Ganga flows relentlessly towards the ocean, so avichinna indicates anu, manogatir avichinna. Where is shilanam indicated? What is the meaning of shilanam? Cultivation or performing some process. Shilanam indicates activity. Where is activity indicated here? Madguna shruti matrena. And where is bhaktir uttama indicated? Nirgunasya bhakti. Nirgunasya bhakti indicates bhaktir uttama. So like that, this verse that Kapila Dev gives for the second time, he is giving the same definition again. So when he spoke about Devanam Gunalinganam in the 25th chapter, this also translates to Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavartam Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam. And when he is quoting this here, Ahaituki Abhyavahita Ya Bhakti Purushottame Salok. So this verse also talks about same thing. Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavartam Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam Bhakti Ruttama. So he is giving this process as that bhakti which is beyond the gunas. Even though he has spoken about sattvika bhakti, rajasa bhakti and tamasa bhakti, now Kapila Dev is telling there is a bhakti which is beyond the three gunas, and this is the nature of that bhakti. Madguna shruti matrena mayi sarva guhashe manogatira vichinna yata gangamba svambudav lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya yudahritam ahaituki avyavita ya bhakti purushottami. So, Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur mentions here, today is Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur's disappearance day. So, he mentions here the qualities mentioned in 325-32, that is Devanam Gunalinganam verse, are here mentioned again for easy understanding. Okay, so it's again mentioned, same thing is mentioned, just reworded, that's all. And an example is given to establish this point. The example of Mother Ganga flowing towards ocean. Because the mind flows to me just by bhakti yoga with hearing and other processes beyond the gunas, the quality of bhakti is said to be ahaituki and avyavahita. So ahaituki means anya vilashita shunyam. Avyavahita means Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam. Like that. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the Supreme Lord is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, therefore He is attractive to the pure devotee. Why He should be attractive to the pure devotee? Because the pure devotees are also beyond three modes. Their Shraddha is beyond three modes. Therefore they are naturally attracted to the Supreme Lord, who is also beyond three modes. That's what Prabhupada is writing. There is no need to practice meditation to attain such attraction. What is Prabhupada talking about here? Avyavahita. There is no need to practice any other process to attain. The pure devotee is already in the transcendental stage, and the affinity between him and the Supreme Lord is natural and is compared to the Ganges water flowing towards the sea. Yata gangam basum budav. The flow of Ganges water cannot be stopped by any condition. Similarly, a pure devotee's attraction for the transcendental name, form and pastimes of Godhead cannot be stopped by any material condition. The word avichinna, without interruptions, is very important in this connection. No material condition can stop the flow of devotional service of a pure devotee. Of course, this indicates again, this could be understood in different ways. So if the pure devotee is taken to be, completely purified, of one with completely purified swabhava, so then his devotional service is actually spontaneous. What Bhaktirasam Sindhu calls as spontaneous devotional service is on the level of bhava and prema. So for him, it's naturally it flows. Otherwise, when the scriptures talk about material obstacles are not there, then it generally refers to there is no material disqualification to take up to bhakti. As in Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumba, Yavana, Hakasade. In that sense. So in two different senses, the scriptures talk about material obstacles not being, an obstacle. So when you are talking about, completely pure devotee on the level of bhava and prema, so he actually has no material obstruction in the sense there is no obstruction of any material impressions which are obstructing his continuous flow of thoughts towards Krishna. Whereas when the scriptures talk about there is no material obstruction, sometimes it also refers to, with reference to our Vairi Sadaka, it generally refers to there is no material disqualification from taking up to the practice of bhakti. Whether one is born in a, any family, Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, all of them can take up to bhakti. In that sense, in these two different ways, it is mentioned. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. When this no obstacle refers to the pure devotees or those who are purified already, in their context also, the external obstacles which come may stop the external performance, but not the internal performance of
Yeah,
bhakti.
correct, correct, correct. That's true.
Like Haridas Thakur is saying that I am not able to chant 192 rounds now.
Yeah, correct. Avyavahita means without cessation. A pure devotee must engage in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day without cessation. His life is so molded that at every minute and every second he engages in some sort of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another meaning of the word avyavahita is that the interest of devotee and the interest of the Supreme Lord are on the same level. So Prabhupada again here talks about two levels of avyavahita. So he clarifies it. The first explanation of avyavahita refers to devotees on the level of bhava and prema. The second level applies to a Vaidhi Sadaka also. He also does not have an interest which is separate from the Supreme Lord. As in the case of a mixed devotee, we saw Bhinnadrik and Pritak Bhava. As we saw in the definitions of mixed devotional service, there is no bhinna drishti for a practitioner of pure devotional service. The devotee has no interest but to fulfill the transcendental desire of the Supreme Lord, like that. So then he describes what is the In the 11th canto, again, Krishna speaks to Uddhava and talks about what is beyond three modes. So, this comes in the 11th canto, 25th chapter. So, he says, Kaivalyam Satvikam Gyanam Rajo Vaikalpikam Chayat Prakritam Tamasam Gyanam Madnishtam Nirgunam Smritam. How everything connected to the Lord only is nirguna. Nothing else is nirguna. So he says, Kaivalyam Satvikam Gyanam. So which means a desire to know the absolute truth, that kind of a jigyasa is Satvika Gyan only. So generally, Rajas and Tamas we don't have any problem. But what is mentioned in the category of sattva and nirguna seems very close. What is in the what is mentioned as in the category of sattva, we might think that, oh, it should be nirguna actually. So here Krishna clarifies here that absolute knowledge, matlab knowledge about the absolute truth, that desire, adato brahma jigyasa. So that brahma jigyasa, till it comes to the level of wanting to know about the Bhagavan feature of the Lord, is still sattvika knowledge only. So he says, madnishtam nirgunam smritam. But knowledge based upon me, however, is understood to be transcendental. Then he says, vanam tu sattviko vaso madniketam tu nirgunam. Living in a forest is just mode of goodness. It's not transcendental. But he says, madniketam tu nirgunam. Residence in a place where I reside is transcendental, which means residing in NVCC is transcendental. Sattvika karako asangi nirguno madapashraya. So he says, a worker who is absolutely free of any attachment, which means nishkama karma, is not beyond three modes. It is at the level of sattva only. He says, nirguno madapashraya, but a worker who has taken shelter of me is understood to be transcendental to the modes of material nature. Then he says, sattviki adhyatmiki shraddha matsevayam tu nirguna. He is talking about shraddha. He says, faith directed towards spiritual life is in the mode of goodness. So if someone thinks that, you know, I should not be materialistic, I should live a life dedicated to spirituality, that desire is in the mode of goodness. But faith in my devotional service, that is only transcendental. Because a spiritual life, you know, wanting to live a spiritual life, one could get connected to any one of the spiritual paths, like, you know, Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga, they all are spiritual. But they are not beyond three modes. Anything that is spiritual need not be beyond three modes. But only pure devotional service is beyond three modes. That's what is explained here. Sattvikam sukam atmottam nirgunam madapashrayam. Happiness derived from the self is not spiritual. It's in the mode of goodness. Nirgunam madapashrayam, but that happiness found within me is transcendental. That does not mean spirit is in mode of goodness. Spirit is transcendental. But the bliss or the pleasure that one can derive out of self-realization is not necessarily on the transcendental platform. It is just sattvika sukha. Like that, you know, Krishna brings out this contrast in Uddhava Gita, to explaining that anything connected to me in my Bhagavan feature, whether it is bhakti or shraddha or the place one resides, anything that is connected to me, that is transcendental. Me means me in my Bhagavan feature. Rest everything is at the most in mode of goodness. Like that. So then he continues, to what extent can the devotee be anyabilashita shunya? So he says, salokya sarshti samipya sarupya ekatvam apyuta diyamanam na grananti vinamatsevanam janaha. The devotees na grananti, they do not accept salokya, salokya mukti, sarshti, samipya, sarupya and ekatvam. All these five kinds of mukti, diyamanam, even if I offer them, na grananti, they do not accept. Vina matsevanam, if it does not involve any service, they don't want to accept it. Because all they care about is to serve the Lord. And to perform that service for them, you know, Swarga Apavarga Narakesh Api Tulyartha Darshinaha. For them, doesn't matter whether you put them in Swarga or Apavarga or Naraka. Wherever there is service, that's where they are inspired to go. That's what is indicated here. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, Lord Chaitanya teaches us how to execute pure devotional service out of spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Sikshashtaka, he prays to the Lord, O Lord, I do not wish to gain from you any wealth, nor do I wish to have a beautiful wife, nor do I wish to have many followers. All I want from you is that in life after life, I may remain a pure devotee at your lotus feet. There is a similarity between the prayers of Lord Chaitanya and the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan. Lord Chaitanya prays in life after life, indicating that a devotee does not even desire cessation of birth and death. The yogis and empiric philosophers desire cessation of the process of birth and death, but a devotee is satisfied to remain even in the material world and execute devotional service. So the opportunity to execute devotional service is what is most cherished by the devotee. So for that, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. This material world is not it shrinks to the size of water held within the hoof print of a calf, which is very purifying, he feels. The devotee is so fond of rendering service to the Lord that the five kinds of liberation are not important to him. If one is engaged in pure devotional service to the Lord, it is understood that he has already achieved the five kinds of liberation. The bliss, which means definitely he must be getting a bliss which is higher than that received through by achieving one of these kinds of liberations. So therefore, moksha laguta krit. Moksha becomes very insignificant when one reaches the higher stages of devotional service. Okay, let's continue. Which ones? Oh, the abode itself is beyond the three gunas. Yeah, basically it means that what is pure bhakti? Because not everyone who goes to Vaikuntha is also, they do not have pure motives. Those who worship Krishna promises that you can come to my abode. It's not a conditional promise. Krishna says, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, Pitranyanti Pitru Vrata, Bhutani Yanti Bhutejya, Yanti Madhyaji Nopimam. Whoever worships me can come to my abode. You worship a demigod, you go to his abode. That's the principle he says. It's not a conditional proposition that he presents. So, so people with some desires, they can also go to the spiritual world. But there is gradation in the amount of bliss that they can experience there. So, the Mishra Bhaktas can also go to Vaikuntha because they worshipped Vishnu and Krishna promised. But the thing is, they don't get the same bliss of that pure devotee experiences in the relation with Krishna. That is not, he is bereft of that. And he doesn't want it also. He wants something else and he gets what he wants. Like that. Oh, they'll not come back. because Krishna has also says, he also says, yad gatvana nivartante, they don't come back.
There is a chance that they can still advance in Krishna consciousness there also.
Yeah, yeah.
By coming in touch with some pure Narad Muni and all.
Yeah, yeah. That's possible. In Vaikuntha also that possibility is there. But generally it's rare. So... I have read and heard that generally it's rare. So, because they are satisfied. If there is a sense of dissatisfaction, then they will look for some other this thing. But they are generally satisfied. This is what, once we asked this question to His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj when he had come. So, he said generally they are satisfied. So in... There are certain questions which are like valid questions, but logically valid, but practically it never happens. Like, or mostly it doesn't happen. Like, once someone goes to the spiritual world and gets established in, say, Dasyaras, can he progress to, you know, Vatsalyaras or something like that? So, yes, why not? Free will is there if he wishes. Krishna will not act against his free will. But would he want to? Generally not. So therefore, you know, this is what His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj answered by telling that generally they are satisfied. But if... See, that is why when Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, from his comments, it seems like, yeah, they are eternally established in that state. And they don't really think that they have been punished to stay in that state. So then they would think, okay, I have to do something to, you know, get out of this. But they are quite satisfied there. Like that. So, okay. So the question is, it is mentioned here, Vina Matsevanam. So, Samarpan Gop Prabhu wants to know, what is the meaning of service? Okay. A different? Okay. What exactly is service? Okay. So, as defined by our spiritual authority, at this moment, your service is to hear, our service is to hear. At this moment, your service is to... engage in this activity, then that's our service. Correct. Yeah. That is service only. But if we have been authorized to please in parampara, under a particular authority, then, you know, from a spiritual point of view, you know, they are more close to in the, you know, in the link. You know, they have been communicated, okay, this is what is needed for the service of Radha and Krishna. So they communicate, okay, do this. Then in that sense, like that. So then he says, Saeva Bhakti Yogakya Atyantika Udahritaha. Yenati vrajya trigunam madbhava yopapadyate sa eva atyantika udahrita. This highest state of existence, bhakti yoga akhya, is called bhakti yoga. Yena, by practice of this bhakti yoga, ativrajya trigunam, one can surpass the trigunas, madbhavaya upapadyate, and can attain prema for me. So here, what does ativrajya trigunam indicate? From based on the discussion that we had this morning, can you try to think? Yena ativrajya trigunam. What does this ativrajya trigunam indicate? Yes, Prabhu. Okay. Yena already indicates that the Shraddha has to be pure here. Because he has defined Saloke Sarshti Samipya Sarupya Ekattvam Upyuta Diyamanam Nagrinanti. Yena. That refers to Yena, which means already the Shraddha is pure. Therefore, here Ativrajya Trigunam indicates purification of Swabhava actually. So, Tesham Evanu Kampartam Aham Agyanajam Tamaha Nashayami Atma Bhavastu. That's what it means. So, so then Shri Vishnu Devadagur writes, if they don't want Salokya Sarshti, you know, the highest mukti also, then why do they perform bhakti then? So he says, because it gives the highest result, which is prema. Moksha from the three gunas alone is famous as the greatest result. One may say that, but moksha is mentioned to be the highest result. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. The topmost are the four purusharthas. Why would they not accept moksha then? Isn't it great? One may say, so he says, that's true. But that is just a byproduct of bhakti. They may say no, but Bhakti Devi does not say that, okay, you only said Swarga, Apavarga, Narakesho api Tulyartha Darshina, so I will send you to Naraka. So even he may be sent to Naraka, but he will be experiencing the bliss of Prema, which is much higher than the bliss of liberation. So even though he may say no, but Bhakti Devi will not make him bereft of that experience, like that. Thus the verse says, Yena Ativrajya Trigunam. This is achieved even without seeking it. So Yena Ativrajya Trigunam literally means liberation. Liberation from the influence of the three modes. So he says that's a byproduct of bhakti. Since by taking shelter of the Lord's feet, the ocean of samsara becomes as shallow as a puddle of water in the hoof print of a calf. So same example is given by here, Srila Vishnu Jagadita Thakur here. Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Ekatva is also liberation, but that sort of liberation is never accepted by any devotee. Salokya Sarshti, they may say, with seva they may accept. But there is no question of accepting ekatva with service, because there is no service with ekatva. There is no engagement of senses. So they will never accept. For qualitative oneness is immediately attained as soon as one is situated in devotional service. For a devotee, that qualitative equality, which is the result of impersonal liberation, is already attained. He does not have to try for it separately. It is clearly stated here that simply by pure devotional service, one becomes qualitatively as good as the Lord Himself. As good as the, qualitatively as good as the Lord Himself is indicated where in this verse? Madbhavaya upapadyate. Like that. So Krishna, now after defining what is the nature of pure devotional service, now he is going to speak about the limbs of pure devotional service. what constitutes practice. Now he is going to speak about Abhideya. What constitutes the practice of pure devotion? That's what he is going to speak now. Kapiladeva is going to speak about the limbs of devotional service, pure devotional service. So we'll try to discuss this part. So Kapiladeva says, Nishevita Nishevitena Nimittena Swadharmena Mahiyasa Kriyayogena Shastena Natihimsreda Nityashaha. He says, the mind should be purified Swadharmena by following Varanashram duties. So, this is just at the stage of taking up to devotional service. So even though anyone can take up to devotional service, but if one takes up with a background of, you know, properly following the Varnashram and then takes up to it, then a lot of the unfavorable swabhava baggage is taken care of by proper practice of Varanashram. So even though the weight of the swabhava baggage does not in one sense make anyone more or less favorable to accept bhakti, but having accepted the path of bhakti, the heavier the swabhava, the slower is the progress. So, therefore, he says in the initial stage, if one has taken up to bhakti by proper practice of Varanashram, it's favorable for practicing subsequently, but not necessarily, you know, it gives that person any additional edge to actually accept bhakti. So this is just like you know, Krishna also says in the Arurukshor Muner Yogam Karma Karanam Uchyate Yogarudasya Tasseva Shamak Karanam Uchyate. So he mentions that in the Arurukshu, in the early stages of practice, even though he mentions it in the context of Ashtanga Yoga, but this principle, if you see throughout Bhagavad Gita, it's consistent with Jnana Yoga also and Bhakti Yoga also. So, and Krishna also mentions this in Uddhava Gita. He says, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadavva shraddha yavanna jayate. So he says that Tavat karmani kurvita, till that point one develops matkata shravanadavva shraddha yavan na jayate. Till one has developed that firm faith in the process of bhakti, and he is convinced that this other, my practice of other varanashram is not necessary for me to make my progress. So till one reaches that stage of shraddha, he should continue to perform his varanashram. Why? Because at least he should be under shelter of some, because Varanashram also means worship of Vishnu. So some form of worship of Vishnu is there. So, but it may not, he may not be practicing pure devotion. That is Karma Mishra Bhakti, but nevertheless some bhakti he is practicing, mixed devotion. So that gives him, when he takes up to bhakti, that gives him an edge, because he is already attuned to practicing worship of Krishna. Even though it may be mixed with practice of Varanashram, but nevertheless, in practice it gives him an edge, definite edge, after he has taken up to devotional service. So it's just like, you know, I gave this example last time also. If you are trying to board a bus, if you are trying to board a already moving bus, So not that I recommend anyone do that, but let's say a bus is moving. If you want to board that running bus, then how do you do it? We have to run with the bus for a while, and then when you have reached the same speed of the bus, then you can jump into the bus. If you directly try to jump, then we will be thrown out of the bus actually. So basically this is just to so running is just like trying to practice varnashram and try to gain firm footing in the pure devotional shraddha. Once that shraddha is firmly rooted, then one can give up one's practice of varnashram and take up to practice of pure devotional limbs. Ideally, that's what is recommended. Even though it is mentioned as a limb, it's not absolutely essential. Even if one takes up to bhakti without having practiced varnashram, still it's not like he cannot take up to bhakti at all. Just that having taken up to bhakti, his progress will be little bit impeded, slow. So in that sense, it's like a favorable recommendation. Till you take up to bhakti, if you have not got pure devotional shraddha, at least practice varnashram. That's a recommendation like that. So the mind should be purified by following varnashram duties, and also in the initial stages also, when he is still practicing varnashram, he should not practice those limbs of varnashram which are against the principles of pure devotion. Only those limbs that are not confronting with the principles of pure devotion, only those limbs he should practice. One should not indiscriminately practice all the limbs. That is not recommended actually. So he says the mind should be purified by following varnashram duties nishevitena, as approved by previous devotees. So which means he cannot practice all limbs of varnashram. Only those which are approved by the pure devotees as being favorable for bhakti. Unfavorable varnashram, like for example, I'll have to go through the 7th canto, Narada Muni's teachings, different certain things which we may, for example, some kind of Brahmana performing Karmakanda is, of course, definitely that is, any kind of, Sakama worship. Like Putra Kameshti Yagya and all those things are, directly against. It's clearly against. And in Nishkama worship also, certain limbs are there which are not so favorable for bhakti. I'm not able to think of anything right now, but it's there. Those should be avoided. Certain limbs which are favorable for bhakti, like taking bath. It's not one of the 64 limbs also mentioned. But it's favorable definitely. So that one should not whimsically give that up also, like that. Animittena, it should be performed without the desire for results. He says that, and of course which are favorable for bhakti, nityashaha mahiyasa kriya yogena. And we are always performing powerful Pancharatri ki deity worship. That is very favorable. Whenever the word always comes, as in the case of Smartavya Satatam Vishnor Vismartavyo na Jata Chit Sarve Vidhi Nishedhyasyur Etayor Eva Kinkara. Srila Rupa Goswami quotes this verse in which section? Anyone remembers? He quotes this in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu. In which section of Bhakti Rasam Sindhu he quotes this verse? He speaks this as, he quotes it as a proof for qualification of Vaidhi Sadhana. So proof for qualification for Vaidhi Sadhana, he quotes this verse. And then Jiva Goswami writes a footnote there, comment. He says, what do you think is the meaning of satatam? If satatam means 24 hours, no Vaidhi Sadhaka will perform, take up to bhakti only. So he says, because it's not possible for a Vaidhi Sadhaka to 24 hours practice that way. So he says, satatam here means satatam, he says, daily. Satatam means daily and not necessarily every single moment. So he says, dhyayanstuvam stasya ashastri sandhyam. If it is mentioned 24 hours, then we will say, what is the, you know, is there any next step to it? You know, we can prepare ourselves to that stage. Yeah, that seems quite impractical to us probably at this stage. So,
bhakti, direct bhakti of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, if we cannot, as Vaidhi Sadhana Bhaktas, we may not be able to perform them. And then what a person has to do who is at pure Shraddha level during that other time, which he is not able to engage in direct devotion service.
So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Ma Manusmara Yudhyacha. So he says, at all time you remember me and fight. And then next verse he says, oh, if that is not natural to you, then he says, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chetasa Nanyagamina. Practice to perform it continuously. So if not everything may be natural from beginning, so he says very, very simple response is practice. When you practice to do it on a regular basis, then it will become natural at some point that way.
Also, is it not that, my understanding is this, that is it not that Varnashram also plays a role here for the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhaktas? Because they may not be able to 24 hours a day, like completely engage themselves in the limbs of pure devotional service, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. However, they can also serve the Lord according to what is inclination which they have, which is more natural at that point of time.
Oh, that is not Varnashram.
Devi,
so Krishna says that why don't you choose one of the nine limbs according to your inclination? And Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu, oh, that is natural. One of these six limbs or one of these nine limbs or 64 limbs, people will naturally choose. How? On what basis will someone choose Kirtanam? Someone will choose Shravanam? Someone will choose Archanam? What is the basis? Rupa Goswami says, Swavasana Anusarena. According to the taste that he has developed through various limbs. So someone who is really good at painting, good chance that he might get interested in deity worship. So in our ashram there are so many doctors who all, as a part of their practice, you know, need to perform some artistic work. If you cannot draw, very little chance that probably, you know, you can get good marks in your medical papers. You know, you have to draw so many things. So, eventually, generally, you know, at the end of 4.5 years, they all come out to be quite artistically inclined, either by force or by nature, whatever. And invariably, all of them have a natural attraction to deity worship. It can't just be a coincidence. So, Rupa Goswami says that Swavasana Anusarena. There is nothing mystical about it. It's not that in your original constitutional state you were singing for the Lord, so that's why. So he says, no, no, not like that. So whatever, and someone who has a naturally gifted musical sense, he might naturally get attracted to Kirtan more. Not that he will, he should only be doing that, but you know, as a, you know, you have this, what is that? Vihita Karma and Kamya Karma. As a part of Kamya Karma, he might naturally start doing that. So he says that that's how one gets attracted to different limbs of devotional service. So I forgot your question.
The question was that when we on a very sadha bhakti.
Oh yeah, yeah. So we need not replace them with varnashram duties. We should replace them with devotional activities only. That's what is recommended.
So like when Krishna is saying to Arjuna, as you are saying, that you fight because that is, you are a Kshatriya. Krishna says several times to Arjuna that that is your Kshatriya duty. You must fight.
Mm.
You should fight and you fight for me, for right. my pleasure.
Yeah.
So I am saying that, is that not that Varnashram is applied for pleasure of the Lord?
Oh, yeah. So if Arjuna fights because if he thinks that he has to fight because I can please the Supreme Lord by engaging in my Varnashram duty. As it is mentioned here, Varnashrama Acharavata Purushena Parappuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Na Anyat Tattosha Karanam. There is no other way to please Vishnu than by worshipping him, by engaging oneself in his own Varnashram duty. But that verse is meant for whom? It's not meant for a person who has a pure Shraddha. Rather, Arjuna would fight because it pleases Krishna. The activity is same, but that is pure devotion. But if he thinks that the only means to please Krishna is by engaging in my prescribed duty of fighting, then that is mixed Shraddha. So eventually Krishna wants Arjuna to fight only, but fight as devotional service. That's the highest understanding that he gives in Bhagavad Gita. So then he says that Mahiyasa Nityashaha Mahiyasa Kriya Yogena, and by always performing powerful Pancharatrika deity worship. That is also very favorable. Shastena, with the best choice of items that you can offer. If you can offer something better, you offer it. And na atihim shrena, without unnecessary violence. Very clear. It doesn't say without violence. It says without unnecessary violence. Na atihim shrena, which means if you cut some shark and offer it to the Supreme Lord, even though it's not, Krishna doesn't say that this is not violence. He says this violence is acceptable violence. So we are not, as Prabhupada writes, we are not proponents of non-violence, ahimsa. We are doing it because Krishna likes it. If Krishna says cut a goat and offer, so we will cut a goat and offer. He doesn't say that. He says offer milk, so we offer milk. Otherwise, logically, if you see the vegan argument seems much more logical. So, but we say ours is not that understanding. Whatever pleases Krishna, whatever Krishna says, we do that. That's all. Like that. So, Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur mentions here, now the angas of bhakti are described. The mind is purified by Varnashram duties as approved by great devotees. However, it should be understood that this refers to accepting only those rules which are favorable for bhakti. There is overlap. So, Ati Himsrena means no excessive violence, indicates that there is no harm in destroying leaves, roots and fruits. And small living entities which are hard to see and avoid. So that's, you can't do anything for that. So that is na ati himsrena. Like that. So in response to Amal Mahaprabhu's question, so that is to act according to one's nature or to dovetail one's propensities is not beyond the scope of pure devotional service. There is, one need not think that if I am dovetailing my propensities, I am acting on the level of Varnashram. So, Varnashram is quite different from that. Having said that, that is not the highest level of performing pure devotional service also. But still it is not outside the realm of pure devotional service also. So therefore, one need not feel embarrassed and, you know, feel bad that, am I following Varnashram because I am doing something that I like to do? No, it's not like that. It's natural, it's but natural that we would want to do those activities which we naturally like to do. And the fact that we are serving Krishna also is because we like to serve Krishna, we are serving. Sometimes our likes coincides with the, you know, authorities' likes. Sometimes it may not. So in our spare time we do, as long as it's a devotional activity. Like that. Then, Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, from every position as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Swakarmana Tam Abhyarchya, one can serve the Supreme Lord by performing one's prescribed duty. It is not that only the Brahmanas can serve the Supreme Lord and not the Shudras. Anyone can serve the Supreme Lord by performing his prescribed duties under the direction of spiritual master or representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So many times Prabhupada has defined, if you look at the, if you make a folio search, many times Prabhupada has defined devotional service as Swakarmanam Tam Abhyarchya. Prabhupada quotes this verse. Even though it is not pure devotional service, but for a very practical purpose, because pure devotional shraddha is very rare. Krishna says that Sudurlaba, Prashantatma, Kotishvapi Mahamuni. So pure devotional shraddha is very rare. So therefore, this is like a very practical proposal. Perform your Varanashram duty, which automatically involves worship of Vishnu. So that's a, it's for those who have not yet mustered that pure devotional shraddha, that's a recommendation, like that. So Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness means Swakarmanam Tam Abhyarche, Prabhupada says. Like that. Okay. Let's continue. Maddishnyat darshana sparsha puja sutya bivandanaihi bhuteshu madbhavanaya sattvena sangamena cha. The mind should be purified abhivandanaihi by offering obeisances, stuti by praying to, puja by worshipping, sparsha by touching, darshana by seeing, maddishtya by deity forms. So these are all, each individual limbs of the 64, each one of them is an individual limb. Seeing the Lord is one limb. Offering obeisances is another limb. Praying to the Lord is another limb. Like that. Bhuteshu madbhavanaya, by thinking of my presence in all beings. Asangamena cha, and by consciously giving up unfavorable association. Sattvena, with determination. So that is actually a limb of pure devotional service. With association, trying to give up, with determination, trying to give up bad association. Like that. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, Temple worship is one of the duties of a devotee. It is especially recommended for neophytes. But those who are advanced should not refrain from temple worship. There is a distinction in the manner a neophyte and an advanced devotee appreciate the Lord's presence in the temple. A neophyte considers the Archa Vigraha to be different from the original personality of Godhead. He considers it a representation of the Supreme Lord in the form of a deity. May not be consciously, but unconsciously. Like the way sometimes we may even dress the deities. So we may not be really conscious or while offering. Sometimes we may want to do it really fast so that we can finish it on time. If we actually had a live personality standing there, receiving all that, then maybe we would. Of course, it's never black and white. It's always, you know, there are varying shades. But an advanced devotee accepts the deity in the temple as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not see any difference between the original form of the Lord and the statue or archa form of the Lord in the temple. This is the vision of a devotee whose devotional service is in the highest stage of bhava or love of Godhead. Whereas a neophyte's worship is in the temple is a matter of routine duty. Konsa din, you know, which days I have my aarti. Oh, this day Sandhyabhog, this day Vaikalika, this day, okay. You know, it's a matter of routine duty. But of course, that routine duty also helps. One cannot, you know, artificially think that he's at the advanced stage like that. Routine duty we have to keep doing over a period of time. You know, it improves. Then later Prabhupada says, if a devotee does not see every living entity as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, he is considered Prakrata Bhakta, a materialistic devotee. He is not completely situated on the spiritual platform. Rather, he is in the lowest stage of devotion. He does not, however, show all respect to the deity. He does, however, show all respect to the deity. So, here, he is not exactly a materialistic devotee in that sense. Because Prabhupada is literally translating Prakrata. So Prakrata here more refers to a neophyte devotee. Rather than materialistic. So that's how Bhagavatam defines. Sabhakta Prakrata Smrita. So in that sense, he's not a materialistic devotee in the sense he's a mixed devotee. But it means that he has a neophyte tendency. That's all. Komala Shraddha. A very weak faith, like that. Although a devotee sees all living entities on the level of spiritual existence, he is not interested in associating with everyone. What is Prabhupada talking about? Asangamenacha. Even though he has to see Krishna's presence in every living entity, but that does not mean he associates with everyone. He avoids bad association. Simply because a tiger is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord does not mean that we embrace him and because of his spiritual relationship with the Supreme Lord. We must associate only with persons who have developed Krishna consciousness. And later Prabhupada says, the exact meaning of the word Satvena is given by Sridhar Swami as being synonymous with Dhairyena or patience. One must perform devotional service with great patience. Patience comes from knowledge also. Once you know what to expect at what stage of practice, what are the symptoms of advancement, and at what stage of advancement, what are the symptoms, when we understand that, then we can have some patience. Otherwise, we become impatient, thinking, oh, the process probably doesn't work. So, knowledge is very much a vital component of developing patience, because you know what to expect at what stage and what is actually a symptom that I am advancing. So if we don't know and we keep on practicing and you know, like someone quoted once his grace Hayagriva Prabhu, he asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I have been chanting for 1 year. Still I have not become a pure devotee." So like that. Prabhupada said something like, anyone remembers the response? Prabhupada said, keep chanting or something like that. It will happen. Something like, I don't exactly recollect, but I remember the question very vividly. I have been chanting for 1 year. But I haven't become a pure devotee yet. Like the Prabhupada said, keep chanting. Like that. So, dhairyena, or patience. One must perform devotional service with great patience. One should not give up the execution of devotional service because one or two attempts have not been successful. One must continue. Sri Rupa Goswami also confirms that one should be very enthusiastic and execute devotional service with patience and confidence. Patience is necessary for developing the confidence that Krishna will certainly accept me because I am engaging in devotional service. One has only to execute service according to the rules and regulations to ensure success. Like that. What is the difference between Pancharatriki Vidhi and Archanam in Navada Bhakti? Prabhupada, from what I understand, has used them synonymously. I think. Anyone wants to add? I don't know. Much. Maybe. I think generally Prabhupada, whenever he talks about Archanam, he talks about Pancharatriki worship only. In my understanding. Maybe Revati Badi Prabhu can add something. Okay, let's continue. Mahatam bahumanena dinanamanukampaya maitriya chaivatmatulyeshu yamena niyamena cha. The mind should be purified by mahatam bahumanena, by greatly respecting the great devotees. Dinanam anukampaya, showing compassion to unfortunate. Maitriya cha atmatulyeshu, and being friendly to one's equals. Yamena niyamena va, yamena niyamena cha, by following the yama and niyama of Ashtanga Yoga. So, basically, how you deal with you know, different classes of people. With someone very advanced, respectfully. With someone not so advanced, compassionately. With someone who is equal, there is another verse which says, what is that? What is that verse? Gunadikam mudam lipsed anukrosham gunadamad maitrim samana anvichen natapairabibhuyate, right? So he says that, you know, if one has this attitude, then his practice of devotional service will also be very peaceful. One just needs to have a respectful attitude towards the elders, friendly attitude towards equals, and a sense of genuine affection and compassion for those who are devotionally not so developed. So then there is no natapairabhibhuyate. One will not be unnecessarily troubled by the practice of devotional service. And then he also says, by following yama and niyama of Ashtanga Yoga, but this also we have to understand, as long as it is not unfavorable to practice of bhakti. And that yama and niyama when practice is not a, is, it does not become a limb of Ashtanga Yoga here. It becomes a limb of bhakti yoga only. Like for example, just before, of course, yama and niyama is much more than that. For example, brahmacharya is one of the yama niyama of Ashtanga Yoga. So it's favorable. In principle, everyone has to follow. So these are not necessarily limbs of Ashtanga Yoga here. These are limbs of Bhakti Yoga only. Like that.
So
Srila Prabhupada writes here, in Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, it is clearly stated that one should execute devotional service and advance on the path of spiritual knowledge by accepting the Acharya, Acharyopasanam. One should worship an Acharya, a spiritual master, who knows things as they are. The spiritual master must be in the disciplic succession from Krishna. Mahatam Bahumanena. Then Prabhupada writes, a devotee should also be compassionate to the poor. This does not refer to those who are poverty-stricken materially. According to the devotional vision, a man is poor if he is not in Krishna consciousness. A man may be very rich materially, but if he is not Krishna conscious, he is considered poor. On the other hand, many acharyas such as Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami used to live beneath trees every night. Superficially, it appeared that they were poverty-stricken, but from their writings, we can understand that in spiritual life, they were the richest personalities. So that is Dinanam Anukampaya. Who is a Dina? Prabhupada is clarifying. He should also make friendship with persons who are on equal level with him, with himself, or who have the same understanding that he does. For a devotee, there is no point in making friendship with ordinary persons. He should make friendship with other devotees so that by discussing amongst themselves, they may elevate one another on the path of spiritual understanding. This is called Ishtagoshti, Prabhupada says. So Ishtagoshti means coming together and discussing Krishna Katha. So, of course, in that also Prabhupada clarifies here, Sajatiya Ashe. You can choose to come together with devotees who have a similar liking. Otherwise, someone would say, oh, let's have a blasting kirtan. And so someone else may feel, you know, come let's cook for the Lord. So both of them want to please the Lord, but then there may not be any sajati ashe. So, you know, there is scope. You get together with devotees who have the similar liking, and then you can discuss, chant, cook, whatever, dress the deities that way. Okay, let's continue. Adhyatmikanushravanan nama sankirtanachame arjavenarya sangena nirahankriyayatata. So he says, the mind should be purified by anushravanan, by continuously hearing adhyatmika, about the good and bad qualities of antakkarana. So which means, about the nature of things that are, about the antakarana means about the nature of mind, intelligence, false ego and chitta, which can act both in a favorable way and an unfavorable way. When Krishna says, mana eva, what is that? No. Banduratmatmanastasya yenatmai vatmanajitaha anatmanastu shatrutve varteta atmai vashatruvat. So mind can be a friend, mind can be an enemy. So it generally refers to all the antakarana. Mind as a representative of all the antakaranas. Mind, intelligence, false ego and chitta. So chitta is the first aspect of antakarana that actually becomes aware of the sense objects. So when Ashtanga Yoga mentions, Ashtanga Yoga explicitly mentions, but it is not necessarily exclusively for Ashtanga Yoga, where it says, yoga, chitta vritti nirodha. So he says, yoga means to stop the chitta vritti. So here, what is the nature of chitta? Awareness of a particular sense object is chitta. I think if you remember, long time back I had mentioned, you know, how these four antakaranas, they act. You know, helping in cognition. So as soon as some sense object comes and hits the sense, let's say nose, some fragrance comes. So immediately the chitta becomes aware of it. Oh, there is some stimulus here. So if the chitta is trained to not respond to material stimulus at all, then there is no question of mind, intelligence, false ego, anything acting. So the chitta itself will not respond to any material stimulus. So this is what Dhruva Maharaj says in his first prayer. Yonta pravishya mama vacha mimam prasuptam sanjeevayati akila shakti daraha swadhamna anyamscha hasta shravanat hasta charana shravanat vagadin pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. So he says that, my dear Lord, till now, now that I have received your touch, Brahma Mayena Kambuna Pasparsha Balam Kripaya Kapole, it is mentioned that how when the Lord touched Dhruva Maharaj with this Brahma Mayena Kambu, Kambu means the conch shell, which is transcendental. So immediately the first thing that Dhruva Maharaj realized was that, oh, till now my senses were sleeping. Why? He says that because now that my senses are responding only to spiritual stimulus, which is what they are meant to be responding to, now that I realize that till now my senses were sleeping or they were dead. So the chitta, so therefore chitta vritti nirodha means the chitta itself should not respond to any material stimulus. So when that comes when the false ego is completely purified. So not that chitta vritti nirodha means a devotee does not smell anything. His nose becomes blocked. Not like that. So chitta vritti nirodha means when he gets that smell, he thinks, oh, this is being cooked for the Lord. I can offer it to the Supreme Lord today. Instead of thinking, oh, this is something for my own pleasure. So that is chitta vritti nirodha according to bhakti yoga. Actually, chitta vritti nirodha has to happen in all yogas. The purpose of all yogas is chitta vritti nirodha only. Because if chitta vritti nirodha does not happen, one does not get liberation. So chitta vritti nirodha in our understanding happens by reversing the ego, to understand that we are servants of Krishna. So as soon as the smell enters the nostril, it's not that the chitta doesn't become aware of it, but it becomes aware of it in a different way. In that sense. So therefore he says that about the good and bad qualities of the antakarana. How the antakarana, when purified, acts as a friend, and when not purified can really take us away from our goal. That one has to hear about it. Nama sankirtanachame, one should chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord. How? Arjavena aryasangena, by sincere association with great devotees, one should chant the holy name. Nirahankriyaya, and in such an association one should not fall victim to pride. So these are some things which are favorable for one's practice of devotional service. Okay. We have two more verses. So we'll just complete the two verses and then we'll take a break. Maddharmano gunair etair parisam shuddha ashayah purushasyanja sabyeti shrutamatra gunam himam. Parisam shuddha gunaihi. Thus being purified of the gunas by following these various limbs mentioned in the last few verses. Etaihi, by these methods, ashayaha, the mind, mat dharmanah, the mind of that person who is engaged in serving me, anjasa abhyeti, it quickly attains the perfect form of bhakti. Perfect form of bhakti means what? Okay, Shuddha Bhakti, he says. Shuddha Bhakti means? No. These are limbs of, these are limbs of Madguna Shruti Matrena Bhakti only. Attains the abode. Okay. So, perfect form of bhakti is what? No, anyabhilashita shunyam bhakti's limbs are only being defined here. Okay. So here, attains the perfect form of bhakti means attains that form of bhakti where these actions are spontaneously done out of love. Which means sadhya bhakti. At the stage of bhava and prema. That's what it means. And what is different at that stage? Purushasya gunam shruta matra. And at that stage only, it started with madguna shruti matrena. And at the stage of perfection also, it is madguna shruti matrena only. Which is non-different from attaining me. So, therefore that's what he is telling, that by following these limbs, a person very quickly attains that stage where he spontaneously is inspired to perform those limbs. So spontaneous devotional service means at the stage of bhava and prema. So that's what it means. So here perfect form of bhakti means spontaneous bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. That's what it means. Let's move ahead. Last verse of this section. Yata avataratho ghranam avringte ganda ashayat evam yogaratam cheta atmanam avikariyat. Yata, just as ganda avringte ghranam, just as fragrance is carried to one's nose from its source, ashayat, vatarato, by the wind of, by the chariot of wind. So therefore wind is called wind is sometimes called gandavaha. It's called gandavaha, that which carries the fragrance. So, if you remember the 26th chapter of Kapiladev's teachings, third canto, he describes one of the natures of wind is to carry the sense object to the senses. So, he says that just as fragrance is carried to the nose from its source by the wind, similarly, evam, chetaha, the same way the mind is carried to the Supreme Lord by Bhakti Yoga. So now, this is an analogy, and there are 3-4 aspects of this analogy. Okay, so what is compared to the fragrance here? Mind is the fragrance. Okay, what is the nose? So the Supreme Lord is the nose. What is the source? Okay, you can say the conditioned living entity is the source. What is compared to the wind? Bhakti Yoga is compared to the wind. So, Vatarato Yogaratam. Like that. Of course, here, Yoga Ratam, it's not Ratha as in chariot. Yoga Ratam means the yoga of Rati, the yoga of affection towards the Supreme Lord. That way the Bhakti Yoga carries the mind to the Supreme Lord, like that. So basically this is where Kapiladeva concludes that if bhakti is practiced by following all these limbs, definitely you can be one can be assured that that bhakti yoga will definitely carry the mind of that practitioner to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, like that. Srila Prabhupada ki.